You all know where to turn. Nehemiah chapter 7. Last week we talked about the wall being completed. You know what? When God gives you something to do and then you see it completed, this is such a blessing. And there's no doubt that the people were excited, that they were, you know, you remember when they started building the wall, they were going through all kinds of issues, emotional ups and downs and everything else. So why are we doing this? Are we ever going to do this? How is this ever going to happen? All the things that come up when God tells you to do something. By the way, He didn't make a suggestion. He told them to do it through Nehemiah. So anyway, they completed the wall, and when they completed the wall, they were so excited, and they couldn't stop praising the Lord, which is what we ought to be doing as well. So we're going to pick up in verse 1 of 7. Once we get down to verse 7, we're going to skip a few verses because I'm not going to pronounce all the names there, okay? I'm just not going to do it. I can, but I don't want to take a long time just going through all the names. But I'll tell you, before we even get there, how important this is. The list of men of Israel, and as it lists them out by specific leaders of families, you know, these names in here, these people in here, just get this right now. These people, like a guy named Harif, H-A-R-I-P-H, he's just as important as Nehemiah. We always talk about Nehemiah. We never talk about Harif. But he's just as important. You know why? Because he was faithful to lead his family to build their portion of the wall. You see, folks, it's not about the leader. It's about the leader. And we don't need to be given props to everybody, you know, it all goes to Him. It's all about Him. It's all about His work. It's His work that He's called us to. All right? So that's just a little extra. That didn't cost anything. Just throw it out there just for you chew on for just a minute. All right. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1. After the wall had been rebuilt, and I'd set the doors in place, the gatekeepers and the singers and the Levites were appointed. I put in charge of Jerusalem my brother Hananiah, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most men do. I said to them, "The gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the sun is hot. And while the gatekeepers are still on duty, have them shut the doors and bar them. Also appoint residents of Jerusalem as guards, some at their posts and some near their own houses." Now the city was large and spacious, but there were few people in it, and the houses had not yet been rebuilt. So my God put it in my heart to assemble the nobles, the officials, the common people for registration by families, and I found the genealogical record of those who had been the first to return. And this is what I found written there. These are the people of the province who came up from the captivity of the exiles, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had taken captive. They returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each to his own town, in company with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Azariah, Remiah, Nehemiah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispereth, Bigvai, Nehum, and Bana. Okay, so then he goes on and starts to list the men of Israel, descendants of each one of these specific people. Now, skip on down to verse 61. The following came up from the towns of Tel Mila, Tel Harsha, Kerub, Aden, and Immer, but they could not show that their families were descended from Israel. So there were some people that wanted to come, but they couldn't prove that they were descendants of Israel. And so that's important because you'll see what happens in just a moment. Verse 64, they searched for their family records. They could not find them, so they were excluded from the priesthood as unclean. The governor therefore ordered them not to eat any of the most sacred food until there should be a priest ministering with them, the Urim and the Thummim. The whole company numbered 42,360, besides their 7,337 men servants and maid servants. And they also had 245 men and women singers. And there were 736 horses, 245 mules, 435 camels, and 6,720 donkeys. Some of the heads of the families contributed to the work. The governor gave to the treasury 1,000 drachmas of gold, 50 bowls, and 530 garments for priests. Some of the heads of the families gave to the treasury for the work, 20,000 drachmas of gold, 2,200 minas of silver. The total given by the rest of the people was 20,000 drachmas of gold, 2,000 minas of silver, and 67 garments for the priests. The priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, and the temple servants, along with certain of the people and the rest of the Israelites, settled in their own towns. Now, you might read through that and you go, okay, that's interesting. It sounds more like history than anything else. But there's so many good little things in there that we're going to look at tonight. First of all, once they had finished the wall, which we went over last week, they completed the wall. They had not put the gates in at this point, but now they have put the gates in. He says, we've got to make sure to post watchmen. We've got to make sure that this doesn't happen to Jerusalem again. I think many times when we go through things in our life and we find we hit a wall, we struggle, something happens in our life, we tend, as humans, to go through it again and again and again and again. And one of the reasons that a wise man once told me is because we don't put watchmen on the wall. And I said, what do you mean? And he says, do you ask God to give you watch over your heart and your mind? Because if you're not specifically watching over your heart and your mind, all kinds of things come in and go out. You hear things. You think things. I mean, we've got to be diligent to make sure what we let into our mind. I remember, when I was a little bitty kid, when I was a very young kid, my mom took me to see a movie. We didn't even get to go see movies very often. We got to actually drive 35 miles to another city where they had a movie theater. And we went to see the Ten Commandments. And I thought that was the greatest thing I'd ever seen in my life. So about a year later, she took me back to that same place and we saw another movie called Gone with the Wind. And of course, most of you know that that's the very first movie that ever used cursing in it. Yeah. All right? And when that happened in the theater, you could have heard a pin drop and people went, oh, you could hear that. You think you hear that kind of stuff anymore? No. You'd be glad if there was just one curse word in a movie. But you see, if we start opening up and letting things in and letting things in and letting, before long, we're like the frog in the kettle who finally boils to death because they don't realize that they're boiling to death. And we've got to keep watch. And so Nehemiah says, listen, we did all this work. We made sure that all the walls were built. We made sure that the gates were in place. Now, what good would that be if we then just were lax and didn't watch over it? He says, so we're going to post people on the wall. Everything was in order, both practically, the walls and the doors were there, and spiritually. He even had called for the musicians and the Levites. You know it's going to be good when you got music and preaching. Okay? Well, at least the music part. So he called in the musicians and the Levites. The work was completed and set right. I like this little section I got out of a book. It says, every victory in our life should take us deeper into praise. Yeah. If we're not praising God more and more deeply with each passing year, are we really having much victory? Maybe we're making it through tough times, but coming out more bitter and sour than ever. That is not God's victory. His victory leads us to a sweeter spirit and to deeper praise. And you have to ask yourself, am I praising God more now than I ever have? If not, There's the answer. If you are, it's because you realize that everything God takes you through, whether good or bad, is for His glory. Everything that we see, everything that we hear, everything that we go through, every relationship that we're in, every situation is either going to cause us to be better or bitter. And I choose better. I choose God's way, not my way. Because when I go my way, it goes downhill. Right? Okay? So Nehemiah gave the command. Nehemiah wasn't in this for political glory, by the way. He had done the work part. Now he could let that go. God would still use him in Jerusalem, and He does. But he knew it wasn't his place to stay in authority. So he put his brother Hanani to govern. He was the one who had told him about the sad state of affairs in Jerusalem. If you go back into chapter 1, the brother's the one who came to Nehemiah and said, "Hey, listen, do you know how bad it is in Jerusalem?" "No, I don't. Let me tell you, the walls are all broken down. And people are ransacking the temple. And it's horrible." So Nehemiah puts him in place to govern. He was the one who had told him about it. He was a man of integrity, the Scripture said, and feared God more than most people. You know, if the Bible said that about you, wouldn't you be glad? I often wonder about these people that are in the Bible that it says something different than that. You know, it might seem pretty cool to have your name in the Bible, but it better be for something good. Right? Because there's a lot of names in there that it wasn't so good. But I mean, to have something like this said about you, he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most people. Now, what does it mean to fear God, by the way?
To respect and revere, honor.
Does it mean to be afraid of God? Yep. If you can't honor God the way He needs to be honored unless you realize who He is. And that brings on a dread in your life when you realize that you better do what's right and what He's called you to do rather than do what you want to do. And this was spoken of Hanani. God isn't looking for people with ability, but with availability. I've seen it so many times in the years that God's allowed me to be in church work. There's people who they come in and they want to be in charge and they want everybody to know they're in charge. And then there's those others who just, they come and they do what they're supposed to do and they work hard. And they never, nobody ever even really says anything to them about what a great job they're doing or whatever. And so many times we fail at encouraging each other. But you know what? They're not doing it for the pats on the back, and they're not doing it so their name can be engraved on the back of a pew. They are doing it because they love God. And so he sets a watch set on the walls. Even though a mighty work had been accomplished, the walls would not protect themselves. Now think about it. The walls aren't going to protect Jerusalem. They're just the point where the people can then protect Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah very astutely places watch on the wall. They must be diligent to protect what God had entrusted them with. You see, when God entrusts you with something, that means He's placed it in your care for a purpose. And you must be diligent to watch over whatever it is that God has put in your hands. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's now your grandchildren. Whatever it is, we've got to be diligent to protect that which God has entrusted us with. We've got to be diligent to protect the Word of God. Because people are taking the Word of God and trying to make it say anything they want it to say. And we've got to stand up and say, no, it's not right. The foolish person takes the things of God for granted. In fact, I always go back to that passage in Psalm chapter 1 that talks about the person who walks in the counsel of the wicked, stands in the way of the sinner, and sits in the seat of the mockers. it's so easy to get caught up in this world, in the people of this world. But those are foolish people. Instead of watching and listening and looking at the things of God, they take those things for granted. The residents not only built the walls, but now it was their duty to protect them. This is what God's Word calls being a good steward. You see, God has given you specific things, specific people, specific places to watch over. And sometimes we're not so good as stewards. Sometimes we just are kind of selfish and don't do what we ought to. Being faithful with what God has provided is a good steward. Are you faithful with what God has provided you? And then he begins to list out these families. And the reason is they needed to develop Jerusalem. Most of these people weren't living in Jerusalem. The houses weren't even built back. They'd all been destroyed and torn down and all kinds of stuff. Most of these people lived out beyond the walls of Jerusalem. Very few people and houses were not rebuilt during this time because they were focusing on building the walls. And so he took a census and looked at the registry first written by Ezra, back in Ezra chapter 2, verses 1 through 70. If you go back to that, you'll see these names again mentioned. The citizens were named. These are the people. Nehemiah wanted everyone to know the people who had sacrificed and given so much to the cause. Many times we take for granted what God has done for us and those who have sacrificed to provide those things for us. You know who are really bad at doing that? All of us. Right? What God has provided for us and what the people have done for us, so many times we take it for granted. This should remind us all that the building and the walls weren't all that important. What was important, I love this, listen to this, it says, what was so important was the benefit of the building work that had in the lives of God's people. Hard work, working together, working through adversity, and working until the job is done. You know, I think most of us really want this church to be a light in Craig. But it takes work. It really does. And there's a lot of people who come and they sit and they soak and then they leave. And the work portion of it's just not in their thought process. And then there's those who, every time you're here, that's what they're doing. They're working and they're giving and they're serving and they're doing the things that they know that God's called them to do. I tell you what, folks, we need people who are willing to do work. Because to reach people, it takes work. It takes us being willing to step outside our comfort zone. It takes us being willing to do something beyond what we feel comfortable doing. It's church work. My pastor friend used to tell me church work could be easy if it weren't for the people. But it's also work. It's work. And God has called us to the work. He has called us to the work. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who just, they don't see that. They come and they want to be a part of the fellowship of the believers. But the work part's never there. And so those of us who know that we ought to be doing what we ought to be doing, we ought to do it. Right? And we got to do it to the best of our ability that God allows us to do. And we've got to be faithful. These people that are all listed out here, they're not listed out because they were liars and cheaters. And even though they may have in their life, they were listed out because they were faithful to do the work. And the walls were rebuilt because these people. Not because of Nehemiah. Now, he had a big part in it, but he probably didn't build a whole lot. These are the people that worked. And because they worked, it was completed. And guess what? God gets the glory. God gets the glory. Folks, I don't want this place to be packed so that we can get glory. I want this place to be packed so that people know that that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. That's why. And so we've got to work. We don't get to take any more time off, right? We're not on vacation. We are on the job until the day that He calls us home. And then we have eternity of blessings, eternity of praise, eternity with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To the work, right? To the work. Let's pray.